We're continuing to talk about why church. We're going to continue to talk about to make disciples. I've been talking about making disciples and how to share your faith of Jesus Christ with other people. If I could instill into you two marks of a disciple, we're talking about 10 of them. If I could instill within you two marks of a disciple and that be it, one of them would be to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And the second would be how to share your faith with unbelievers. If I could impart that to you, you'd be good to go. So we're going to, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you that you have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And not only have you been reconciled to God, you made friends with Him through Jesus Christ, you have been given a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation, whereby you can now help other people come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God the Father, because you have this ministry of reconciliation. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that you are an ambassador of Christ. You have the privilege of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the privilege of bringing hope to the hopeless. You have the privilege of snatching people out of hell and ushering them into heaven. You have a privilege of taking people out of Satan's grasp and ushering them into Jesus's care. There's nothing greater. No power is greater than being able to bring people into the kingdom of God. Now, I want us to look again at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Scripture says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God," say power of God, "to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." So the gospel is the power of God to whom? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Now, we're not talking about a head knowledge. We're talking about someone who's received Christ in their heart. Today, I want to give you 10, I'm sorry, I want to give you some tools that will help you get over two tremendous hurdles in regards to sharing Jesus with a lost and dying world. The hurdle of fear and the hurdle of not knowing what to say. Before we go any further, would you just stand up? Either reach your hands if you're afraid of getting cold or anything else. It's okay if you don't hold hands. At least reach out your arms to someone and pray for them. Receive the Holy and pray for yourself that you receive what God has for you today. Okay? Pray in the Spirit. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, you can do only what you can do. We can't do what you can do. And Lord, I acknowledge the fact that I can't preach without your help, without your power, without your assistance. And Lord, as Moses said when he was taking the children of Israel into the promised land, there was a time you told him, you were frustrated with the children of Israel, and you said, Moses, you take them. I'm not going to go. And Moses said, well, God, if you don't go, I'm not going. And so, Lord, if you don't go before me, then I can't go. So, Lord, our dependency is upon you. It's not upon me. Our dependency is upon your word, not my word. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would visit us today. We just come against every spirit of resistance in the name of Jesus. We bind those spirits now in the name of Jesus. Ask you, Lord, to impart your holy angels to work in our midst. Lord, to help us to see you in a new way. Lord, make our hearts tender with your spirit. Give us a fresh insight. Help us to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, what has been fearful for us in the past, let it be something that has been in the past. Lord, that we can go in your name, with your spirit, with your word, and conquer what you said we can conquer. You said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so, Lord, today we are beating down the gates of hell. And Lord, we're going to take the mantle that you've placed upon us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So we spoke a few weeks ago and I asked you, how many of you had fear of sharing Christ with others? And many of you acknowledged that was the case. Some of you said, I don't know what I would say. I don't know how to get into the conversation. I don't know what to do. So we're going to look at those two hurdles today. Those are two very big hurdles that we want to address is the hurdle of fear and the hurdle of what to say. Fear can be debilitating. It can even be paralyzing at times. It can entrap you. And all of us have had to face fears throughout our lives of one thing or another. Matter of fact, I'm still facing and overcoming fears in my own life. Okay. And hopefully you're not giving into it. You're facing it and you're saying, I'm going to conquer this. And so the eight biggest fears in life, according to an article in The Science of People. One is the fear of failure. Maybe you can identify with some of these. The fear of failure. Second one is the fear of rejection. Fear of change. Fear of public speaking, fear of imperfection, not being good enough, fear of vulnerability, the fear of time. I didn't know what they meant by that, fear of time. So I had to look it up. What does that mean, fear of time? It's a fear that they're not going to get everything done that they need to do. Okay? So that's what that means. And anxiety. About, I'm not going to be there on time. I'm not going to get it all done. I'm not going to get... Anyway, that's the fear of time. And the last one is the fear of loneliness. These are huge fears in many people's lives, especially, as I look at the past couple of years and COVID and being shut in, loneliness has been a big deal that has occurred with many people because a lot of things have been shut down. And as I've shared, there have been many fears that I've had to overcome throughout my life. The fear of public speaking is huge in my life. You know how I got rid of that? So I have this puppet named Grandy. And I could sit Grandy on my lap and let him do all the talking. And I could respond to Grandy, but he was the one who was doing the talking, and so I wouldn't have to address. And Grandy helped me get past the fear of public speaking. Isn't that interesting? So thank you, Grandy. I'll bring him out. Why don't I bring him out next week? Not today. I've got things I'm doing today. So I'll bring him out next week, Lord willing. And if I don't forget. So fear of public speaking was one of the things. Fear of rejection was another one that I had to overcome. And the fear of failure. And most recently, the fear of being judged and criticized. That was the most recent one, of being judged and criticized. And so let me just tell you how that came about. I was at the prayer summit just, 4 weeks ago? Something like that. And so being a Baptist pastor, there were fears about connecting with other denominations, which I brought from Mississippi out here. Okay. And it was very uncomfortable for me when Jerry Baker, the Quaker church pastor at that time, came to me and said, Pastor Brad, or Brad, said, would you mind if we had a group of pastors who would come and pray with you in our church? In your church. And it's like, what am I going to say? I don't pray. Or I don't pray with other pastors. What was I going to say? I just, you know, he kind of put my arm around my back, and twisted a little bit. And I said, sure. And then, I was very uncomfortable with that. And then that next thing I know, they wanted me to go to a prayer conference up in Cannon Beach where a bunch of other pastors, and I'm the only Baptist who is going to this prayer conference up in Cannon Beach, and it made me very uncomfortable. And then Linda Hanratty asked me to go and start planting stakes in the ground. And it's like, man, this is weird. This is really weird stuff. I'd have never been asked to do this kind of stuff in Mississippi. But here's what I want to do. I do want to please the Lord. And so even though it may be uncomfortable for me, I just want to say, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. And he always tell me, well, go ahead, just do this. It's like, but God, it makes me uncomfortable. But you know, he didn't really care. And I would rather please him in fear than be disobedient to him. And one of the ways you overcome fear is just do what you don't want to do. Okay? So I kept doing that. And for a long time, many, many, many years, and I'm not a critical, judgmental person. That's not my nature. That's not what I do. That's just not me. However, in my head, I can be very critical and very judgmental, just on and on and on and on. Some guest speaker gets up and is well known, and all of a sudden these thoughts go in my head. It's like, I know that's not from God, but yet they keep going on in my head. And so if you've been around here long enough, I tell you to pray, and if there's something that's ungodly in your life, then you need to, and you can't seem to overcome it, you need to ask the Lord where that started so that you can confess, repent, renounce it at the beginning. So that was the open door where that started. So I began asking the Lord, where did that start? And he showed me. And I repented of that and asked the Lord to forgive me for being judgmental and critical in my mind. And do you know those judgments that I've not, since I did that, there's not been judgmental or critical thoughts that have entered my mind. Praise the Lord. But also, not only was that, did that happen, but also the fear of criticism and judgmentalism left as well. Praise the Lord. I wasn't expecting that, But it was a tremendous release for me. So now you can judge me all you want to, and I don't care. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now I can be free to do what God wants me to do without being fearful of somebody judging me or doing it. So one of the things you have to do in order to get rid of this fear is to address the fear issues in your own heart. Any of these fears that we mentioned earlier can impede our relationship with other people and our ability to follow Jesus. I was at Tom's Bible study last Monday night, and we talked about a fellow by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, who was a secret disciple. Why do you think he was a secret disciple? Because of fear. Because of fear of what people may say, because of fear of losing his position, because of fear of being cast out of the synagogue. He had some fear. But you know, he decided, fear or no fear, I'm going to do what needs to be done. And he took Jesus' body and he put it in his own tomb. Boy, I'm sure that caused a ruckus. There were people pointing fingers, criticizing, judging him. And it's like, so what? So what? Sometimes we've got to do what we need to do, regardless of the fear involved, regardless of the criticism, regardless of the judgmentalism. What he said was, I'm going to identify with Jesus. I'm going to identify with the apostles. I'm going to identify regardless of the cost. It's time we stop hiding our identity in Christ. It's time. It's time. It's time that we're vocal about our relationship with Jesus. It's time we share the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For anyone who will hear it, anyone who will receive it, anyone who will believe it, it's the power of God unto salvation. The fear factor is reality. It is a reality. And for some reason, we are afraid to tell people about the most important message that's ever been proclaimed on earth. So we're going to talk about how to overcome fear. One is, understand fear is not from God. Fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So here's what I would suggest to you, that you identify and renounce every fear in your life. Identify and renounce every fear in your life. Are you afraid of being judged? Are you afraid of being criticized? Well, then let me ask you a question. Do you judge and criticize others? Then perhaps that would be something you needed to talk to the Lord about. Because he said, judge not, lest you be judged. I know very many of you are not happy about the election results. Myself included. But do you know what? We need to pray for these people. We don't need to judge them. We don't need to criticize them. We don't know how they grew up. We don't know how they received the lives that they had. We don't know any of that. They have a different worldview than we have. But ours is not to criticize, and ours is not to judge. Ours is to pray. Okay? How are you going to share Christ with a lost and dying world if you're always criticizing and judging? I don't think it's possible. Because in the back of your mind, you've got all this garbage going on. And how are you going to present the truth and love with that going on? So, we need to recognize the fears and the bondages in our own life that keeps us from sharing Christ in a loving way. To overcome fear of sharing, the third thing is to overcome fear of sharing Jesus. Or maybe this is the second thing. You need to understand that you're not alone. What if you knew that the Holy Spirit was there with you? What if you knew that the Holy Spirit was already working in the heart and life of the individual that you're going to be talking with? Look, if you would, at John 16, 5 through 11. But now I go away to him who sent me. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. This is Jesus talking. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, the Holy Spirit is already at work in the hearts and lives of all people. And one of the things that he's responsible for, and it's not your... Did you notice it's not your responsibility to convict and convince and to condemn people? Did you know that was not your responsibility? That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. And Scripture says that he's already at work in the world doing these things. So when you go knock on a door, when you sit down with someone and you're talking to them about a relationship with Jesus Christ, did you know that the Holy Spirit's already there working? Now, they may have shut the door on him. And they may shut the door on you. But that does not negate the fact that the Holy Spirit's already working or has been working. And so we need to understand that we're not alone, because he's convicting of sin. He's convincing them of righteousness, that there is a standard that we all must face. And also that there's a coming judgment. I mentioned to you, the fourth thing is, we touched on last week, we need to pray for perfect love. 1 John 4:18, again, this is a powerful passage. I would encourage you to memorize it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Man, let me ask you a question. When you met person that you were going to eventually marry, and you had to approach them about, hey, would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like to go on a date? Was there any fear involved? Jim, was there any fear involved? Yeah. Jake, was there any fear involved? Yeah. But perfect love cast out fear. And so because of the love you had for them, you approached them anyway, regardless of the fear you had. Right? So here's what I'm thinking. If we have the love that we need to have for people who don't know Christ, then perhaps we're going to make steps toward them, not to condemn them, not to convict them, but to bring them into the kingdom of God. Did you know that we're living in a world who've lost their hope? And we may be living in a period of time where people may be more open because of lost hope. People need hope. And Jesus is the only one who can bring that. for this life and the next. I found this article. I was wondering, has hope diminished since the pandemic? And so I looked in this article, found this article in Trust for America's Health. Washington, D.C., May 24th, 2022. Deaths associated with alcohol, drugs, and suicide took the lives of 186,763 Americans in 2020, a 20% one-year increase in the combined death rate and the highest number of substance misuse of deaths ever recorded for a single year. Do you think people have lost hope? Do you have hope? Do you know how to share that hope with others? See, love compels us to share the gospel with people who have no hope. Love compels us to share the gospel with people who are on the fringe of taking their own life. But we don't know who is. We don't know who's not, because we haven't asked them. And here's the deal. When I ask people how they're doing, I want to know, how are you doing? It's not just a frivolous statement of good to see you. If I wanted to say good to see you, I'd say good to see you. Right? For many people, how are you doing is like, don't tell me how you're doing. I don't want to know. But when I ask you how you're doing, I want to know how you're doing. Right? Okay. How you doing? Good. All right. Thumbs up. And if you're not doing good, I want to know that so I can pray for you. Because you're dear to me. Now, a lot of people are not going to be honest with their feelings toward you until they get to know you. So I'd encourage you to begin relationships, some witnessing relationships, so that they would be trusting you to be able to share what's on their heart with you. Love compels us to share the gospel because people are without hope. But also love compels us to share the gospel because there are people who are going to hell without Jesus. Now, I wouldn't say any. Now, there was a time you could tell them, street preacher, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Guess what? That don't work anymore. And what works is that you love them right where they are. You love them right where they are, and you bring them into relationship with you so that you can bring them into relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you know that there are sometimes you can build a relationship in a matter of minutes? Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. She was changed. And I don't have the gifts Jesus had. I mean, most of the time I have to have people tell me what's going on in their heart. He kind of knew already. And he was able to approach that person with what he knew that was going on in her heart. And be able to, she said this. When she went back to her hometown, she said, come, let me show you a man who knows everything about me and told me everything I ever did. How would you like that? How was he able to approach her, knowing everything about her and telling her everything she did without her being feeling condemned and dirty? Because of perfect love. Perfect love. I mean, the most righteous man in the world comes against a dirty sinner, and it's like, let me share with you. I love you just where you are. I love you just where you are. Love compels us to share the gospel because people are going to hell without Jesus. But I think what we need to do as Christians, if we really want to be a tremendous evangelist, tremendous soul winner, whatever you want to call it, we might need to get a glimpse of hell ourselves. If you could just dwell on the story of Lazarus and the rich man for a while, and I'm not going to go into it. If you just dwell on that for a while, it might give you a little glimpse of what's going on in hell. The second hurdle is not knowing what to say. So here it is. I would just suggest that you just start with a conversation. Start with a conversation. So you met the person. You may have long known. Some of you have been trying to build witnessing relationships for years with certain individuals, and yet you've yet to share the gospel with them. What if you just start with a question? The question may be something like this. Would you mind if I shared something that's very important to me with you? Start with a question. Questions are very important. And people can say yes or they can say no. And you don't even have to take offense if they say no. And if they say yes, and let me just wait for their answer. Don't just go ahead and proceed. Wait for their answer, because you need to get their permission to share. Okay? And your testimony could be 10 seconds. You don't have to go into a big, long dialogue. There was a time I felt hopeless. I felt lost. I didn't have real direction in life. I didn't have real purpose. But I discovered this relationship that gave me purpose, that gave me hope, that gave me life. Would you mind if I shared with you about that relationship? What would you say? Maybe piqued your interest a little bit. So then, allow them to respond. They can say, well, I don't have time right now. Is there a better time for you? And they can, you know. So it's not offensive to ask questions. And it's not offensive for them to say no. You still got the relationship, right? So then what? Well, on your seat, there's a Romans Road. And here's what I would suggest. Either if you don't have that memorized, you can do what is called a marked New Testament. And you can take your Testament and you can turn to page at the beginning of your Bible and turn to page 136 in Romans 3:23, and then you underlined it. And at the bottom of that page, say, turn to 143. Bottom of that page, turn to. Okay? So have your little testament with you. Or you can take one of these Bibles who already has that in that. Okay? This one or this one. Or this one. Either one. Okay? All right. Now, the scriptures are different. And all of them, but it still leads you to the same place. They don't use the Roman road. If you prefer the Roman road, get your own testament and mark it. Use it. Utilize it. It's important that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there are people who are without hope, and you may be their only connection to hope. And there are people, here are the books. I was out of the Zoom line whenever I showed that. And I'm going to encourage you, if you want one of these Bibles, you're welcome, more than welcome to pick one up. We have more upstairs with the marked New Testament in there. So this page, it says, gotta find it. Turn to Ephesians 1:7 on page 190. And so we could turn page 190, go to Ephesians 1:7, and then read that passage of scripture. It's underlined. And then at the bottom of the page, it says, go to another page. Okay. Very simple. And so you could, after you've given, they've given you permission, you could actually just take this Bible and say, could I read some things to you that was very pertinent to my life? Always ask questions. Always get permission. Don't just barge in. You don't want to destroy the relationship, right? Relationship is huge. Relationship is huge. And so I'm going to encourage you to take one of these with you, get familiar with it. Because one of the things I would ask that you, if you want to, on December, the first Saturday in December, I want us to come together about 9 a.m., do an hour of training, and then we're going to go practice. Okay? We're going to go practice. And we're going to go out and we're going to see if people are open to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The problem is not the gospel. And the problem is not that the gospel has lost its power. I think the problem is silent Christians. I think that's the problem. I don't want to be silent any longer. And I'm going to ask you to join me on December, whatever that is, the 4th, 3rd, 9 o'clock. We're going to do an hour of training, and we're going to go out and put into practice what we've learned. Okay? And then we'll talk about that day when we're going to meet again so we can continue to keep this practice going. Today, and so that's kind of the invitation. And the invitation is to come up here and get one of them, those Bibles, and learn how to utilize it, learn how to use it. And the second is this. There may be some people in here without hope. There may be some people in here who don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Feel like you have no purpose, maybe you have no direction. Jesus can give that to you if you will receive Him. I know that it's true because it's happened to me. It's happened to many, many, many people in here. What He's done for others, He can do for you. So, Father, I come before You today. Thank You for Your word to us. Lord, I thank You for being here and allowing me to be able to deliver the message that You've given me. Lord, I want to be someone who carries the gospel message to those in our neighborhood. Let this church be one who carries the gospel message around the world. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for life in Jesus Christ. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.